And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the beautiful state of Alabama. I'm talking about we go way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. Hey, the text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's also the number for calling in, so it's the same number both ways. Got a few texts on there already. John from Huntsville says he's been playing his bracket contest every year for 5 years. I guess he's taking issue with the fact that we called out his 90 score. but he's saying he's been playing for 5 years, and he plays when he picked all the better-ranked seeds all the way through the tournament. Anyway, basically he's done good in other tournaments, I guess is what I'm saying. Stay on it, John. We love you, brother. Bruce from Hazel Green, with regards to taxes, he says we should be one of the leaders in the red states, not the followers. I agree, man. It would be too easy right now, you would think, to do all the things that conservatives say we stand for. But keep in mind, and I say this, and I would say this to them, but there's a vast difference between being a Republican and being a conservative. You can, Mitt Romney's a conservative, or excuse me, a Republican. You know, Mitch McConnell is a Republican, but being a Republican and being a conservative, often two different things. Tony from Piedmont, he doesn't take issue. He takes issue with Governor Ivey. Jeff from Indiana, he said it's because of all the Dixiecrats. How many Republicans elected in Alabama right now used to be Democrats? He said, I can't tell what he's saying in the last sentence. I just, every once in a while you got to read and you go, you know, I don't know what he's saying. But anyway, I think it is first point though. A lot of folks used to be Democrats. David from Huntsville just says useless Ivy and the governor cabal. Brian from Huntsville. Brian from Huntsville, by the way, is rooting for McQueen. He says, go Vols. I hope McQueen likes bright orange. So she does not like bright orange. No, I mean, she was an Alabama athlete, so you would think that she would. Well, have you ever
definitely
seen?
Definitely does not like the bright orange.
Have you ever seen the video of that Alabama student talking about Tennessee, and how he hates them? I hate them. Bunch of snitches.
I've seen many videos.
No, this was one where he stands there and goes, bunch of snitches. He goes on a monologue, and he goes, and they got that orange. I mean, that like nasty inside the pumpkin orange.
I gotta look this up now.
Oh, you gotta look it up. It went viral a few years ago. Badger from Athens, he says Auburn beat Auburn. Keep telling yourself that. Friggin' Badger, I don't think I need your input right now. You just go listen to Feinbaum or something else right now. Stephen from Gunnersville was also checking on McQueen's bracket. So anyway, all right, the text lines are highly active right now. We're talking brackets and taxes. So jump on in where you can and hang on. Let's jump out there. So here's the thing. If and you recall, you know, I was with the Alabama Policy Institute for a number of years after I left office, and then this radio show sprang out of that time. My friend Stephanie Smith is the new president of the Alabama Policy Institute. She comes on the show almost every Friday. And API has been calling for tax relief since the day it was founded, really. It's been around for 34 years. It's a conservative think tank and policy position organization. And it's going to espouse those things that, like I say on this radio show, that we believe in as conservatives, and one of those is low taxation. Now, here's the thing. We're looking at right now a story on AL.com. This is a reminder that Governor Ivey gave her State of the State address just a couple of weeks ago. And in her State of the State address, she says Alabama is thriving and that she would support a one-time tax rebate of up to $800 for Alabama families. Now, I'm not opposed to the idea of a rebate per se, but I will tell you that mailing checks to people is oftentimes what Democrats do. Flooding the market with one-time cash has been the situation that has made our economy what it is right now. Now, I don't know that $800 per family, $400 for individuals, is going to wind up truly making a big difference in our overall inflation rate. What I do know is this. It's not going to be but a short-term gift. A rebate is basically when government looks at their coffers and says, you know what? We apparently took more of your money than we need. Go figure. So we're going to give a little bit of something back to you. How about this? How about change the way you got it? How about if you took more than you need, it might mean your system for taking is a little too aggressive. There's a thought. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to reform the processes by which you found yourself governor with a surplus. Now, see, the thing is, so often government runs like a does not run like a business, all right? Government is voracious. Government continues to consume. The only place in the world where you can truly fail up is government. Because a government department can have the worst year ever, take education for an example, or mental health, or, you know, whatever. Government can have the worst year ever. It can have a complete fail and then submit its request for next year's budget at or above where it was before. And it'll happen. Unless there's a budget crisis, they're going to get their appropriation. Then never mind whether or not they earned it. Never mind whether merit is the grounds upon which they should get money back. By the way, when I was in Montgomery, one of the things I discovered which irritated the stew out of me was how many departments had carryover accounts. Pray tell, Phil, what do you mean? Well, imagine this. You have a department that submits a request for a, let's just say, a $500 million budget appropriation. But you still got $87 million left from last year. Well, maybe you should reduce the amount you request by the amount you still have left over. But no, they don't do that. Nope. A bunch of those departments down there have carryover budgets. You can have that $87 million, which is just an example, but you can have that $87 million left over and still request the full $500 you need, meaning you're going to come into the year technically at $587 million. To the good, because you didn't use up all your money, even though you got it. So let me ask you a question. Where'd you get that money from? The taxpayers. The taxpayers. That's where you got it from. But by the way, human nature being what it is, I get the idea that you'd much rather have a surplus of cash in your hands to work with, so you got some discretion. You can buy new computers if you need to. You can hire a new secretary, whatever. I get it. But during the pandemic, let me ask you this. How many government paychecks were missed? Can I have the crickets, please? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's right. None. Nobody lost a government paycheck. Didn't matter whether you were sent home to isolate and quarantine, or whether you were a teacher who suddenly had to go home and just log in the morning while you wore your flannel pants and sat there in front of your TV screen or your computer screen. It doesn't matter. You still got the same paycheck. Meanwhile, the private sector and the people who work in the private sector, some of them are losing their jobs, applying for unemployment, you know, trying to decide what to do. How do I make my business work? If you own a restaurant, good luck. And, you know, charitable contributions for churches and 501s went way down because the economy was taking a hit. Meanwhile, the government sector continued to grow. In Alabama, government grew at a rate higher than what you saw in New York City or California, the two most liberal states in the nation. Why? Because we had an influx of cash and they didn't give any of it back. That's why. None. We had huge tranches of money and a new gas tax going on. And the government sat on it, and they gave it back to themselves. The government is the one, Governor Ivey's office is the one that shut down businesses. And I understand that the pandemic was scary when it started, but she shut down businesses, left them shut down, required people to go out and have to collect unemployment, and then took the money from the federal government and plussed up the unemployment compensation fund that she had drained because she turned everybody out on the street. Now, Governor Ivey has done some good things. Don't take this as a complete indictment of her entire administration. But what I'm saying is, with this regard, she is a big government governor. There's no way around it. She has done nothing but grow government since she got in office, period. She is harboring the money. She's not allowing it to go back to the individual taxpayers. And the idea that she's going to toss us a $400 rebate, that just feels like breadcrumbs. Let them eat cake. Well, Governor, we've had enough cake. It's time for some actual reform. And what I'm hoping is that the legislature is going to look at this as an opportunity, like they've done a few times. And again, calling balls and strikes, I get mad at the legislature sometime, but they have done some great stuff too, social especially. But one of the things they did was in a special session, she called them in to do certain things. She didn't want them to touch vaccine mandates, and they did anyway. And it was awesome. And they can do that again now. As the governor says, I shall give them a bit of a rebate, and they shall like it. Well, how about this? Hey, guys, come in for session and pass a bill and dare her not to sign it that says you're going to actually lower taxes on a continual basis. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be something? Well, I'm looking right now. The text lines blew up, so apparently I hit a nerve. But anyway, tell you what, Boomer, take me to a break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back. And we'll talk about some taxes, and then top of the hour, we'll be talking to Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, followed by a call from State Representative and Minority Leader Democrat Anthony Daniels. He's trying to lower taxes. How cool is that? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got a bunch of texts in. By the way, Jeff from Indiana heard me saying that he must be driving because he's voice texting to me, and he heard me trying to figure out what his text was saying. And he said, I think my voice text is a Democrat. what else we got here? Tyler from Huntsville says there's also a difference between being a conservative and being a constitutional conservative. I can see that. I can agree with that. Leanne from Huntsville says, psst, Phil, Meemaw is a Democrat deep down. So she's talking about Governor Ivey. Jerry from Meridianville, he says Kay Ivey is the Mitch McConnell of our state government. And listen, I'll call balls and strikes. Like I said, I've said that several times on the show today. Apparently it's my new phrase. But what I'm saying is this. If I see something right, I'll call right. And Governor Ivey's done some things right, but on tax relief and growing government, I can't see it. I don't. Bert from Owens Crossroads says, do the easy thing first, eliminate the grocery tax. Unfortunately, Bert, that's one of the hardest things. And here's why. That's because the teachers union lobbies hard on this issue because the grocery tax feeds the education budget. It's about a $456 million hit if we just flat do away with the grocery tax. Well, we're the only state, by the way, but it's still one of the proposals on the table. It is. And I'm hoping what they're going to do is say, we're going to stop pretending and start doing something about it and just, at the very least, phase it out. How about this? If you think it's going to be too hard to just whack it and do away with all 4 cents on the dollar, well, then let's go ahead and take a cent every couple of years. And that way, in about 8 years, there's no grocery tax left from the state. We're one of only, I'm getting a thing in my head, I think we're one of only 10 or 11 states in the nation that taxes groceries at all. And of those 10 or 11, we're one of only 3 that taxes at the highest rate allowed by state law. In other words, we don't play. We get out there and we tax it and tax it and tax it. And yeah, it's a mess. So, yeah, 4 cents on the dollar goes to the state, and then you get all the local sales tax added on top of that. So we're one of the highest sales tax states in the nation, just so you know. Ike from Somerville just wants Governor Ivey to retire, in his words. David from Huntsville. David from Huntsville, he says, I love the fact you called out the legislators and dared the governor to veto. Lead, dare, govern, grow Alabama. I like it, David. Tony from Piedmont. Referring back again to Jeff from Indiana, says that texter that said Dixiecrats are now Republicans was spot on. There's that. And then, let's see, I got one more in here if I can read what it says real quick. He says, since you mentioned merit-based raises, I still believe that educators' raises should be merit-based. If you teach math and 90% of your class fails, then why should you get a raise? Exactly. I'll tell you why, because they have a union. They have a union that makes sure that everybody gets the same thing within their step plans. You know, you come in there, doesn't matter whether you're teacher of the year or the teacher who is just filling a space. You get the exact same pay. Now, I will say this. One of the things we did do, as that was Lynn from Madison who texted that in. One of the things we did do when I was in the legislature is we followed through on a promise that Democrats had made years before but never followed through on. If you take the extra steps to go get your national board certification as a teacher, which is a big deal. That's a certification saying you're among the best. If you get your national board certification, NBCT certification, they call it, then we give you a $5,000 bump in your pay. And that's just a good thing. So let me jump in here on the tax relief issue. Justin Bogey from the Alabama Policy Institute wrote a piece last month, and it's titled "Tax Cuts Would Benefit Alabama More Than a One-Time Rebate." He points out that, for instance, right next door, the Mississippi Center for Public Policy said that permanent tax cuts rather than rebates are what is necessary. Alabama's government, he says, finds itself in a similar situation to Mississippi. Mississippi lawmakers are expected to have about a $3.9 billion surplus. So is Alabama. Alabama has the largest revenue surplus in its state history. And he says that tax rebates are not a bad thing. I said that earlier, too. He says anytime citizens keep more of the money, it's good. But why are the rebates the primary option? It seems that we're in a position that permanent relief could come first. And that's where we are. We're watching Mississippi cut taxes like nobody's business, man. They are wearing it out on tax cuts. Georgia has done some stuff. Tennessee has done some stuff. Of course, Florida has done some stuff. We are bracketed in by states that have done more, and yet we have a Republican supermajority, and they can't quite seem to get there. It's scary, I guess. Story from WAFF Channel 48 out of Huntsville. Alabama lawmakers are set to vote on a bill aiming to end the state grocery tax. So there will be a bill, and I know that. There will be a bill. The question is, can it move? It says, some Alabama lawmakers want to save you money at the grocery store. House leaders plan to vote on Alabama's House Bill 15, which would remove the state's grocery tax. And it points out what I said earlier. We're one of only three states that fully taxes groceries. House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels, who will be on the show in a little while, believes the change is long overdue. He says the fortunate thing about the education trust fund budget, which is fed by the grocery tax in part, is that we're having a record year. We're bringing a tremendous amount of revenue, and until the economy stabilizes, we have to consider what that means about, you know, reducing the grocery tax. However, they go on to point out that here's the weird thing. You got folks like me, conservatives, and Stephanie Smith, who's quoted in the article from the Alabama Policy Institute, siding with a group called Alabama Arise, which is one of the most liberal progressive groups in Alabama. You can look them up. If there's something liberal to fight for in the state house, Alabama Arise is all for it. Doesn't matter how woke it sounds or whatever, they are all for it. Now, I will say this. Alabama Arise, they want to cut the grocery tax, but they want to raise taxes in other places. That's their way out. That's always been their way out. The reason I had to vote against cutting the grocery tax when I was in the legislature, because every time they brought it up, they tacked on a tax raise in order to make it happen. For instance, one of the ways they try to do that is in Alabama, we're one of the few states that allows you to deduct your federal taxes from your state income tax. It's a deduction. If you paid X amount federal, you can deduct X amount in some capacity on your state taxes. They always wanted to do away with that, so we'd collect more on income tax, but yet cut the grocery tax. How about just cut it? Just be bold. Just cut it. All right, if things go as planned, we should be hearing from Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth in just a few minutes. Y'all stay tuned. Right Side Radio. We will be right back.